Of the three great blues guitarists named King, B.B., Albert, and Freddie, probably the one who did the most to shape rock guitar styles was the least known, Freddie. His most important work has been unavailable for some time, but recently Bear Family Records released Taking Care of Business, which covers most of his career. Rock historian Ed Ward has his story.
Texas claims Freddie King is its son, but although he was born on a farm near Gilmer in 1934, his real contribution came as one of the young musicians from Chicago's West Side who challenged the Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf South Side musicians starting in the late 50s. Guitarists like Otis Rush and Magic Sam played an aggressive, virtuosic blues that attracted a younger crowd, and Freddie King ran with them. King was always an innovator, and on his very first record, made for the Tiny LB label in 1956, he used Robert Big Mojo Ellum on electric bass, an instrument Ellum played in Freddie's band, but few others in town used.
Well, now it's all over, and now you send me through. You go and let me say you found somebody new. That's what you think. That's what you think. You can lay off a while, but you sure can't quit me now.
Freddie's big break came in 1960 when King Records opened an office in Chicago. Sonny Thompson, a seasoned veteran of post-war rhythm and blues, was the talent scout, and after learning that Leonard Chess didn't think Freddie was worth signing, snapped him up and took him to the label's home in Cincinnati to record. The very first session in August resulted in the song that's been linked with Freddie's name ever since. Hideaway was a tune everyone on the West Side played, probably written by Hound Dog Taylor. Freddie's version, named after one of his favorite clubs, Mel's Hideaway Lounge, entered the top 10 in the rhythm and blues chart and even got to 29 on the pop charts. Freddie King had a white following almost from the beginning. Freddie and Sonny Thompson wanted to prove he was also a singer, and his next session had the hit to prove it.
Well, I'm told I'm almost level. Jump in, my baby showed up and said, I will tell you when. Well, I'm tore down.
I'm tore down again, rocketed into the rhythm and blues top 10, but the pop market ignored it. Freddie only saw the charts one more time during this period with a Christmas record that charted for 1 week. But King kept recording him, and more he was on the road with reviews, barnstorming the country. When he was home on the West Side, he and his band worked 7 days a week if they wanted to. The thing was, although Freddie's records sold steadily, they didn't sell a lot. His contract with King was up in 1966, and Freddie parted ways with them. He'd already moved his wife and 6 children to Dallas and used that as a base from which to tour. Meanwhile, Eric Clapton recorded Hideaway with Mail's Blues Breakers in England, the first British guitarist to show his explicit debt to Freddie. Freddie returned the favor by going to England and touring, showing the Brits how it was done. In 1968, Atlantic Records in New York started a new label, Cotillion, for saxophonist King Curtis to record who he wanted. He wanted Freddie King, and so in July, Freddie entered the studio for the first time in 2 years. Curtis assembled an amazing band, and they got to work.
Let me die.
It's hard to say why the two singles and two albums on Cotillion didn't sell, unless they were too sophisticated for the rock market and too old-fashioned for the new soul market. But for me, they remain the peak of Freddie's output. The Valley was to come. Leon Russell, flush with success from kickstarting Joe Cocker's career, signed Freddie.
I'm going now.
Russell's intentions were no doubt sincere, and Freddie tried, but at their best, like Going Down, the recordings were oil and water blues rock, and at their worst, generic 70s blues sludge. Freddie stayed with Russell until 1972, then moved on to RSO Records, run by Eric Clapton's manager. These recordings aren't on this set. Freddie was living hard by this point, drinking copiously, and always downing a couple of Bloody Marys before stepping on stage because, as he told a journalist, they've got food in them. In 1976, playing a club in New Orleans, King passed out in the middle of a solo. He went back up to Dallas and played a gig in New York on Christmas, but he canceled a show scheduled for the next night, returned to Dallas, and went into the hospital. He died, riddled with ulcers and suffering from pancreatitis, on December 28, 1976, aged 42.
Ed Ward lives in southern France. He reviewed Freddie King, Taking Care of Business. Join us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air. And you can download podcasts of our show at freshair.npr.org. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our senior producer is Roberta Shorrock. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Joan Tuohy-Westman, Sam Brigger, John Myers, John Sheehan, and Lauren Krenzel. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.